This is Francisca Maker from homenaturally.org. You are listening to Raising Plantfold Talk.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melissa. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids, and also so that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular Playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we take a drive to see the Christmas lights. They're so pretty this time of year. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Dr. Laura Markham of ahaparenting.com, and it was all about sibling rivalry and sibling relationships. So if you missed that show, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to it and find the archive of all the other shows that we have at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. Well, this week's show, I'm talking to Francisca Maker about a special storytelling advent calendar. While you listen, check out her site at homenaturally.org. I hope you'll stick around. Thanks. Next up will be our interview. We've just got through a three-part series called Crafting Your Simple Holiday Season. There are many different types of advent calendars, from food treats, natural ones like twigs, felt ones on strings, ones that you stick on the wall, little doors with activities hidden inside, and those that tell the Christmas story in words or objects. There's something for everyone. But what if you want to cuddle up and slow down this Christmas? Maybe your child can't see past presents and gifts and stuff. Maybe you want to share a story with them that they will understand. Well, today I'm talking to Francisca Maker, mum of two little girls. She homeschools by day and writes and blogs at homenaturally.org in the wee hours. She's a certified simplicity parenting group leader and is always looking for simplicity, rhythm, creativity, wholesomeness, and an overall natural style. She has a PhD in communication studies from the University of Bonn, and she left the tenure track of higher education to be a stay-at-home mum for her two young bilingual daughters. I'm really excited that you're on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, in the introduction, I mentioned advent calendars, and you have just launched one that is particularly suited to us because it's all about stories and storytelling, which is just what our under fives love. Well, not just the under fives. We all love a good story. So tell us about Charlie, Noel, and advent calendar story. What is it?
Well, it's a story. It has 25 chapters, so one for every day of advent. And it's meant to be read, you know, as a family. Like, you know, every day you sit down and you read the chapter for the day. And in the story, you get to know Charlie, who is a little boy. He's 6 years old. He has just a very hard time with Advent and with waiting, and he doesn't understand why Christmas cannot be right now. And throughout the season, he has his friend. It's Noel. It's a plush donkey who kind of helps him get through and helps him to kind of understand the wonders and the magic of Advent. He helps him to see that there is a point to waiting and a point to preparation. And throughout, he kind of, learns, I don't say lessons, because really there are no, it's all very subtle, but he kind of changes a little bit his own outlook on Christmas and what it's all about, and how, you know, he can kind of change his own expectation and also what he can do for others.
That's really neat. So how did the story come about? What made you think of doing a story like this?
Well, I grew up in Germany, and Advent is a big deal there. Mm-hmm. So we would actually really sit down and as a family, and we would read stories every night, and we would have, you know, we would light a candle, and we would read a story, we would sing a song, and I just really, especially as a little kid, you know, I just love these get-togethers. You know, later when I was in high school, I kind of tolerated them more. When I was little, I just really loved them, and they were very special to me. And so when I moved to the States, and I was a little shocked, you know, that there was just not this emphasis on Advent, and that it was Christmas, like, right away. And so I really wanted this tradition for my family, and then I went out and about, and I wanted to see what was out there, and I couldn't find any stories that were particularly about Advent and that were suited for little ones. You know, of course, there are craft books and there are devotionals and all this, but I really wanted a story. And so when I couldn't find it, I just decided to write one. And being a simplicity parenting coach and just loving everything simple, I wanted those messages to be kind of interwoven into the story without being preachy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because kids can spot that a mile off, and certainly yes. Looking at the story, you can see that it's just really nice story to sit with your child and be able to do together. So how does the story actually work? You said that there's 25 chapters, so does that mean mm-hmm. each day you read it? What's the format that you would go through it with?
So it's available as a PDF or as a Kindle version. And there's also an audio version available. And so every day, again, you read the one chapter and together. And at the end, there are a couple of discussion starters where you can talk about something either that is in the story or something that really relates to it. And most of the questions are really simple enough for kids to understand and to have, you know, to talk about. And then there is generally one further thing to do. So either it's a little craft activity or it's, you know, just something where, you know, where you go out and bring something to the local food pantry, you know, things like this.
That's really cool. You know, I'm really interested in the audio part of the story, of course, having a podcast. That's what I am really attracted to. And it's short enough that you can have it on in the car as you're doing your trips to school and things like that. What was it like hearing your story come alive in audio? That whole, I mean, you had this vision of the story, you wrote it down and you imagined it, but then you had other people actually tell your story in audio form. What was that like?
That was incredible. I mean, I didn't really expect it, but when I first heard it, you know, and all of a sudden, like, Charlie has a voice and all the different characters, you know, yeah, I mean, it was amazing to hear that and to think, I mean, it gave me a little, you know, a little jump to say, wow, you know. Yeah. And it also tells you that it works, mm-hmm. you know, because when you hear the characters, you're like, yeah, you know, that is how a family works. You know, how they interact, how they talk to each other, how it all plays out. It kind of felt really real.
That's really cool. And I like it because you can listen, say, in the morning before they go to school or preschool or wherever you're going. And then when they come back, you can do the activities with them. So they've had time to really think about it. And you've had a clear time between to gather some of the resources that you need if you're going to be making some of the craft activities or get it ready. So it's a really good way of connecting with the kids, too. I think you've done a fantastic job. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, for some, if you are in the car a lot, you can listen to it in the car too, you know, mm-hmm. and that might be a nice thing where you can, you know, if you are strapped for time, you know.
Yeah, because you've got Kindle apps as well, so you said it's on the Kindle as well as PDF, so you've got multiple different formats there, so it will work for parents that want to interact with their kids a bit more, so that's really cool. Well, yeah. You talked about Christmas briefly back in Germany and the memories that you had there. So I want to talk a little bit about Christmas traditions in your family now. What's a Christmas tradition that you love and embrace in your family right now? Because I know you have two lovely little girls.
Yeah. Well, talking about Germany, we actually, you know, in Germany, you do give the presents on the 24th, and in the States, you do it in the morning of the 25th. And even though we really try to keep Christmas, you know, centered around the real meaning and not around the presents, but still, you know, you have a lot of presents, and our kids are still young, and so we really didn't want to overwhelm them with all this, and so we actually decided that we do a little German celebration on the 24th, and that's where they get the presents that, you know, for example, my family sends them, and then on the 25th, we have the American celebration, and that's when they get, you know, the presents that come from my husband's family and from, you know, from us, and that works really well.
It does. We do exactly the same, but the other way around. It's really funny because my husband's family celebrate on the 24th and we celebrate on the 25th. And so we do exactly the same thing. We split out all the traditions and activities for the 2 days. And it's a nice balance. And you're able to really appreciate each side of the family that way, I find.
Yes.
And it's not just this big kerfuffle of paper and activity. So, yeah, that's a really
Absolutely.
Sweet one. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what Advent actually means to you. Because when everybody thinks of Advent, it's different for different people. But as a Simplicity Parenting group leader or coach, you will have what Advent means to you in a different way, perhaps. And so I'm curious to what, you know, sights and smells and feelings that you have when you think of the word Advent.
Well, Advent for me is really a time of preparation. And I really, you know, people don't like to wait. And there's part of me that really cherishes this time of anticipation. And it's almost better for me than the real event, you know, because there's still this something you look forward to. And Advent is just a gentle season for me, you know, because you have all the little lights and the decorations everywhere. And when you, you know, go for a walk with your family at night, you kind of see all this and it just looks like, you know, winter wonderland. And you bake, so you have all these wonderful smells around you and, you know, hot chocolates, and, you know, it's not the kind of waiting where you sit there and you drum your hands on the table and think, when is it going to be here?
Yes.
But it's the kind of waiting where you just say, oh, this is, you know, this is really nice, and this is just where I can sit back, and I don't need to, you know, yes, I do need to get ready in some aspects, but most of it is just enjoying the here and now, and the, you know, and enjoying to get together with friends and to, yeah, and to just have this kind of gentle, kind, slow time, and enjoying, again, the simple things, you know, enjoying the lights outside and enjoying candles, enjoying baking. Yeah, I think that is very special.
So how do you keep the holiday time or Christmas time special and simple in your family? Because there is a tendency for it to start to get out of hand and for it to, like you said, lose the meaning. But so how do you in particular try to keep this, you know, Christmas time period special and simple?
Well, I think one thing is we really cut down on where we travel around the holidays, you know, because for us it could be easily that we would just be on the road the whole time. But we just made the decision to stay put and to just make, you know, our own tradition for our girls so that they kind of have, you know, the same kind of foundations we grew up with. So we stay home and we try to keep all our kind of obligations to a manageable amount. In terms of presents, I'm not somebody who says, you know, you need to get rid of everything, but we do kind of really look at how much can a four-year-old, for example, handle. You know, at what point would it all kind of, is the excitement of opening a present actually done? And it just kind of turns into this, you know, craziness of wrapping, you know, just getting the paper off the package and then moving on to the next. And last year, actually, I think there are three presents that I never gave them because I just could see that it wouldn't, you know, do any good. And, you know, and I knew they wouldn't miss it. And so I just kind of put them away. Yeah, so we kind of try to do a good job in estimating, you know, how much do they enjoy and keep it to them. You know, we have special meals and we have special songs and, you know, we practice certain poems and music. Music is very important for us. So, you know, we sing a lot and we play and we, you know, do all that. I think that's an emphasis that's definitely in our family.
It sounds really lovely to be able to practice slow and simple parenting in that way, to keep the holiday time special. I love the little story that you gave about the presents and that you noticed what was going on with the girls and realized that even though you would love to give them these particular presents, you stopped from doing that because it just wasn't appropriate at the time. And that shows a lot of slowness in your family, that you're able to notice that, because many times at that time of year, we're so busy with getting things out, doing things and activities that we don't notice that the children are getting quite hyper and crazy about a particular area. So it's just fantastic to hear that you can notice enough to be able to hold back and not feel guilty that you're not giving all of the presents that you had out, that you know that they are getting enough.
Yeah.
Did it take some time to be able to feel good about doing that, or is this just something that you've been able to do?
I think a little bit. I would actually assume it might be a little harder when they are a little older, you know, because many things they don't, you know, they're not at the age where they compare their presence to others, or
yes.
it just does. And I think, it's not hard, because I see that I am actually, you know, I'm doing them a favor by keeping it this way. And I know that, you know, I'm not overwhelming them. And so by really checking in and really seeing, you know, where are they at, what do they need, what is too much. I don't know. I feel that this is almost the best I can do for them right now.
You're absolutely right. And it does vary, of course, between families, and, you know, everybody chooses what's right for them. There is no special magic number of presents or magic way of doing it. You've got to find what works for you. So since we're talking about presents, I know that you homeschool, and I'm always curious to what homeschoolers do at different times during the year. And so now we're entering to the holiday season. We've got Thanksgiving towards the end of the week in the US, and then we're heavily into Advent and, you know, all of the holidays that we can have there. What do you do during this homeschooling time? Do you do things that are related to the season? You know, are you slowing down? Are you doing things as usual? What's happening?
I mean, everything is kind of, we try to be as seasonal as we can in everything we do. And, you know, we are still beginners. So since my children are rather young, many of our schooling is really playful. You know, we don't sit down every day for 2 hours and do school, you know.
Yes.
We do it as we go out and about and count, I don't know, you know, we count pine cones and do others. So we kind of collect things from nature and work with this. You know, we just kind of, we learn the songs of the seasons, the poems of the season. You know, we look and do just fun things, you know, how does snow look under a microscope, or things like that. So things that they really are, that are right in their face, and that they kind of you can kind of learn more about. Or, you know, when you bake, you look into how you measure things. And so you work with what is appropriate for this time of the year.
Okay, cool. So can you tell us a little bit about Martinmas? I think that's how you say it. And perhaps a little bit about how you celebrated it in your family. I'm always interested in sharing different festival days and high days for us to look at. And this is a particularly nice one. I saw a link for it on your blog, and I think it would be really nice to share that one with us.
Yeah, Martinmas is on November 11th. And it celebrates Martin of Tours, his from France. The story goes that he was a Roman soldier and a very kind man. And one cold winter day, when he was coming to a city outside, there was a poor man sitting, shivering. And since Martin didn't have any money left to give, he took his very, you know, big and warm coat, and he cut it in half and gave one part to the poor man. And then later that night in the dream, Jesus appeared to him wearing this coat and telling him that, you know, whatever you did to this poor man, you did to me. And so that changed his life, and he became a very compassionate man who, you know, set out to help the poor. And it's celebrated in many countries with lantern walks. And so that's what and there are special songs again. So we kind of spend a week, you know, talking about Martin and what he did. And we practice the songs, and we make lanterns. And then during the week, we actually did it probably a couple of times. We, you know, once it got dark, we would go outside and we would walk around with our lanterns in the garden. And yeah, and the girls just loved it. They thought it was very magical to take their lanterns outside, you know.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. What time does it get dark where you're living?
Around 6:30.
Okay, yeah, because here in the UK, you know that it's around 5 o'clock-ish, I would say now, for it in the middle of November, and it gets earlier and earlier. And I remember when we were in the States that it seemed to be quite the sunset around the same time most of the year where we were, it seemed. Mm-hmm. But here we get dark quite early, so for us, the children could go and do that quite early. You wouldn't have to wait for after bedtime or really late to get it done, so I really like the idea of being able to do that, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock just before dinner time, be able to go and do that. It would be really kind of magical to go outside and walk around with light and be in the darkness. There's something about that the kids just get really quiet when there's lights and lanterns and having to hold it gently and to walk around. It just brings that awe and wonder and anticipation that you were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. I'm glad that you, and I'll put a link to the article that you wrote about it on your blog so that we can read more about it and learn how to do that in the show notes. So this is the part of the show where we get to know you a little bit more. We've talked about your lovely Advent calendar story. We talked a bit about the Christmas traditions that you do in your home. So now we're going to talk a little bit about you. So what are two actions that you've taken in the last 2 years that have had a positive effect on your life?
Well, I think the first thing that's probably the major, is to really focus on rhythm. On rhythm in the day, on rhythm and everything that we do as a family and that I do it, it's so important for me. I mean, I really, you know, for me to feel out of rhythm, out of balance, is like the worst thing that can happen. So I kind of need to have these pillars of the day where I can just kind of feel, okay, this is how it goes, you know. And even if you get up in the morning and it just doesn't look like a good day, you still have these, you know, these six point in the day, and they often really bring you back. And that was so important. And, you know, it kind of, it started when I didn't completely understand the concept of rhythm, more like a schedule. And it took a while to turn from a schedule in a really natural rhythm and to kind of allow, you know, for us to allow this to just unfold and to say, yeah, you know, this is maybe not how we planned it, but this is a rhythm that just works best for our family, you know, when we do X and when we eat, and, you know, so that, I think, is, yeah, that definitely has changed our dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part, which is maybe a little contradictory, but I think to loosen up a little, you know, there was a lot of things that I was like, oh, you know, I don't want this, and I wanted to be this way. And after a while, I just, you know, I'm very particular about, you know, what we eat, but it's okay. You know, if we, once in a while, if my kids have, you know, a donut, they're not going to,
yes,
you know, get ill from it. And, you know, if they watch TV once in a while, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
yes,
you have to kind of, you know, I don't want it to be too much, but I kind of had to realize that it really needed to just, you know, sometimes you just have to go with it, and you don't, and, you know, and the worst thing you can do is to actually stress about it.
Yeah.
And it's just that sending the completely wrong message. So yeah, that I think was huge for me, to let that go a little bit.
That's a good thing. What were you doing 13 years ago? Well, I say it's a good thing, because we all have these little quirks of our own, and we have to find our balance, don't we? You know, we have to find where our level is. And that's okay for us to swap and change until we've found what it is. And it changes with seasons as well. And so I'm really glad that you actually voiced that, because I think lots of people get worried about the fact that they've changed their mind on something, and that's absolutely okay. I feel that's what parenting is all about, is adjusting to the needs of our families.
that's right.
Sorry, so what were you doing 13 years ago?
Oh man, I was finishing college.
Those were the days.
Those were the days, yes.
Wow. So what is your... Sorry,
it
carry
seems
on.
Longer than that.
It does. Were you in college back at home?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, I came here. Well, I went to grad school right after college. And then when I was done with all my courses, I came to the States while I was writing my dissertation and for a job. And, you know, I intended to stay for a year. And now it's 10 years.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, I just, you know, I stayed, and then I stayed another year, and I just really loved it. And then I changed colleges, and then I met my husband, and then it was kind of a done deal.
Yes. How funny. So you say that you have two little girls. What would you say are the favorite play activities in your household at the moment?
Oh, they have a little play kitchen, and that's their thing. You know, they play restaurant, and they play, you know, just cooking and baking and setting up picnics and setting, you know, all everything around that kitchen is kind of their biggest thing.
Very nice. So where can we find you online?
You can. My blog is homenaturally.org,
mm-hmm.
And you can also find me on Facebook. You just search for Home Naturally.
Excellent.
And sometimes I write over at Simplicity Parenting too.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we could go and see and read some of your articles there. Well, today, mm-hmm, I've been talking to fellow Simplicity Parenting group leader, author, and mum, all about her advent calendar story. Thank you, Franziska, for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'll be right back after this short break with how you can win a copy of her fantastic advent calendar story. I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Meredith Alexander, founder of milkandbookies.org, and you are listening to Raising Playful Pots.
Well, I'm recording this show today on December the 1st, and I think I've been asked 8 times already, when are we going to do the advent calendars? I've never really anchored it to a time in the day, and maybe that's what I should do. I tend to think that advent calendars should be done when it's dark, but you know, who am I to say? The kids obviously want to do it anytime. We just got in from our local Christmas fair and it was so busy and so many cute crafts and activities for the children. It was really cool going out there all together as a family. And we were looking at some Christmas books and trying to talk ourselves out of buying some more when I overheard a lady asking if there was Elf on the Shelf. A book about Elf on the Shelf or the activity. As far as I know in the UK, you can't get this activity and the book, but maybe I'm wrong. Let me know if I am. It's not something I've wanted to do with the kids, and I know a lot of families absolutely love it. If you're not familiar with Elf on the Shelf, just type in Elf on the Shelf on Pinterest or your favorite search engine, and you'll see all the antics that the elf gets up to. Well, this lady and the store owner were showrooming right there in his market store, checking out all the online retailers to see if they could find this Elf on the Shelf. I think they must have been doing this for a while. They must have been talking about it because they were really deep in the conversation. He was really curious about what was Elf on the Shelf and where could you get it and what was it about. I knew I had to tell this lady about an alternative that I've just come across. I think when you mention Elf on the Shelf, there's a definite reaction of love them or can't stand them when you know what they are. The can't stand them group have their reasons, but many would like to do something like Elf on the Shelf, but really, they just don't know what to do or how they would do it. And I could never think of an alternative way, and it was something that I've never really been keen on. And I'm so excited that friend Anna of Imagination Tree and fellow Brit managed to share an alternative. This week, she shared her kindness elves, which fit so well with Thanksgiving and empowering our children to be kind. I just had to tell this lady, a complete stranger with a little baby in a front carrier, about the kindness elves. Now, I always find it hard to approach people in chat and let alone butt into somebody else's conversation completely, and a complete stranger at that, somebody random person that I just happened to be standing next to in a Christmas fair. But I couldn't let her go, seeing how disappointed she was with having no activity, no advent activity that she'd be able to do, and now no Elf on the Shelf activity that she wanted to do. But I just had to go and speak to her. So I mentioned to her all about the kindness elves, and I hope she got to look it up, because she said that she was already liked Imagination Tree's page on Facebook already, so she was going to go look it up. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about the kindness elves. Here's a quick summary from Imagination Tree. That's it, theimaginationtree.com. Create a new tradition for Christmas with the kindness elves, an alternative to the popular Elf on the Shelf idea, and place the focus instead on positive, character-building activities for kids, teaching love, kindness, and gratitude, with a hope to raise kids who move away from the, quote, entitlement attitude which pervades our modern generation. Doesn't this sound just lovely? Just really right? I know that you'll really love this, and this is why I wanted to share it with you guys too. And be sure to share it with your friends and your co-workers. And if you want to get the details all about what kindness elves are and all about it, then pop on over to Anna's blog. That's theimaginationtree.com, or one word, and search for alternative Elf on the Shelf tradition kindness elves. Or if you put it into any search engine, I'm sure you'll get there with alternative Elf on the Shelf tradition. Another advent calendar that I wanted to talk about was Truth in the Tinsel. We've talked about that one before, and we've done that one a couple of years now in a row. Truth in the Tinsel is an advent calendar with a Christian faith focus. And so each day, Truth in the Tinsel will lead you through a passage of scripture, a corresponding ornament craft, and talking point for you and your kids. I'm reading directly from their page now. It's more than a devotion, it's meditation and hands-on learning for kids. It's more than a craft book, it's a memory builder for your family. It's more than an ebook, it's an experience and adventure in God's Word. So there you go. If you're looking for another type of advent calendar and you haven't got one yet, then Truth in the Tinsel might be the one that you want there. So you've heard of these three ideas here today. We've done the storytelling with Charlie and Noel, and that was what our interview was about today. We had the kindness elves that I've just mentioned from the Imagination Tree. And I've also mentioned Truth in the Tinsel from Amanda of oamanda.com. What do you do for Advent, and what's going on in your house with Advent calendars? I'd love you to share what you're doing in the show notes by going to raisingplayfultots.com/153. That's number 1, the number 5, and the number 3, because that's the number of the show that we have today. Franziska kindly has also offered a Charlie and Noel Advent calendar story to a lucky listener. So come on over to raisingplayfultots.com/153 and tell us in the comments a favourite family Advent or Christmas activity that you like to do. That's it. Tell us what that is and say that you would like to be entered into the competition to win this Advent calendar story. And I will choose somebody at random for you to be able to win this prize. As it's a download, it's open to everyone as long as you can download it. And since you're listening, you probably can. And it'll be open for a week. For all the details to that competition, then go over to the show notes and it will be right there. So that's about it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to Raising Playful Tots. Pop on over to the show notes for links to all the things that we've talked about and to share your feedback about the show or to enter to win the Advent calendar story. That's raisingplayfultots.com/153. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 153. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!